So we have been spending some time with Job the last few weeks. What about old Job? Had a rough way to go. We didn't look over every verse, but Job had some troubles. He had everything going for him, and then things one day just went bad, went south. And he just about lost everything. Just about everything except his life. And we've been diving deep into Job over the last few weeks. And the story we have found is about maintaining hope when we feel deserted by everyone, including sometimes even God. And the story is about not accusing life, but instead affirming life. Saying yes to life when everything else seems to be falling around us. And there's two key phrases that we've looked at so far and talked about in the last 2 weeks. The first phrase occurs when Job's wife, in Job's suffering, comes to him and says, "Why don't you just forget about your integrity and curse God and die?" And you'll remember that Job answers, "Shall I receive good at the hand of God and not also receive the bad?" So Job answers that a realization that the nature of life is that we have good seasons in life and we have bad seasons in life. And we're to affirm God in all of the seasons, the good and the bad. And this morning we'll find out why it makes sense to affirm God even though things are difficult and maybe not even ostensibly fair in our life at the moment. The second phrase was from last week that we came across in Job, and we encountered it when Job, who was now faint and he's terrified, he's sort of settled in that this is his life at the moment. And he realizes that it's going to be with him for a while, but he says this. He says, "Yet I am not silenced by the darkness." And in that sentence is a huge affirmation of life. A yes to this gift of life, even in the moments when things aren't going too great. In fact, even when things may be terrible in our lives, and yet Job says, "I will not let the darkness silence me." And so a few important things that we've learned about life and about suffering already from the story of Job. The first one is, in our suffering, we must maintain our integrity. Not to curse God and die, as Job's wife said. Not to give in to these nihilistic impulses, these impulses that say, well, nothing matters anymore. It's all worthless. Why try? Where we throw in the towel. And we proclaim that life is evil and we blame God or we blame other people. So the first thing we find out is we need to maintain our integrity in the midst of our suffering. And then secondly, and we learned this last week, is to place hope in God, even if God seems distant at the moment. Not to be silenced in the darkness, but seek His face and wait and hope in the darkness. And we said last week that you will find God in the hope. When everything else seems gone, when the Lord seems distant, when we continue to hope, God shows up in the hope. And that's why it's so important to maintain that. So this morning, our story comes to this climax scene in the story of Job. And Job and God finally come face to face. You remember in the beginning of the story, Job feels very bitter. He has a bitter complaint that he wants to bring to God, but he can't find God anywhere. He says, "God just seems so distant. And if I could just get face to face with God, I would explain my situation and how fair it is. I've been an upright and righteous man, and all these things have happened to me, and surely I could straighten things out with God." Well, this morning he gets that chance. The Lord and Job come face to face. And Job's complaint is founded on a question that is universal to all of us when we suffer. When we're in the middle of suffering and we're in the middle of a loss or a pain or a disorientation or things just aren't going right, there's an overarching question that we almost always have. We want to know why. Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me or to my family? I want to understand. I want there to be meaning in the midst of this suffering and this hurt. And so Job ultimately asks the question, why? And all of the frustration that comes along with that. Because we lack knowledge and understanding about what's going on. If you look at the verses, and if you have your Bible open to that, you can see this in the passage. It deals a lot with issues of knowledge and questions and answers and wisdom. And I'm just going to quickly go down. When you're reading Scripture, look for things like this and they'll jump out at you. In verse 1 of 38, the Lord answered. In verse 2, it says, without knowledge. Verse 3, I will question you. Verse 4, if you have understanding. Verse 5, surely you know. So all these things are about wisdom and knowledge or lack of knowledge. In the midst of pain, there's questions. And the main question is why? Why do good things happen to bad people? And by the end of this passage that we read this morning, you'll either be satisfied with the answer that you find there, or I acknowledge you may be unsatisfied with the answer that you find there. But that doesn't change the answer. God gives Job an answer to his why. And we'll find out what that answer is this morning. I hope you like the answer, but if you don't, it doesn't change the answer. And we get a sense very, very early on in this passage that the Lord is about ready to deliver a harsh, but ultimately realistic and life-affirming answer to Job's question. The Lord answers Job in what? How does the Lord show up? He shows up in a whirlwind. I like the gentle Lord to come speak to me. I like the still small voice. But the Lord shows up in a whirlwind. It's powery. The Lord is going to face Job with a harsh but an ultimately realistic answer and meet him where he is. He's going to show him the essence of life. And then the Lord says to Job, I think the translation that Bob read said, brace yourself like a man. Some translations, it says, gird up your loins like a man. Now, girding your loins, in those days, they wore tunics. And, of course, normally when you're walking around, a tunic around your ankles is just fine. But if you're going to get ready for action, you know, if you're going to lift something or you're going to, you know, fight somebody, you gird up your loins, you pull up your tunic and you roll it around your belt. So you got some movement there. And so the Lord is saying, Job, I want you to get ready for this. Because I'm about ready to tell you something you may not want to hear, but gird your loins like a man. So it's going to be harsh, this answer that the Lord gives to Job. It's time to put your big boy pants on, the Lord says. And then he says to Job, he says, be quiet for a minute. Let me ask you a few questions, Job, the Lord says. And then he asks a series of questions, the Lord does, that establishes his authority. It establishes his credibility, his power, his prerogative, his supremacy in what is happening in Job's life. He asks questions like, where were you, Job? And commentators will say this. There's a lot of sarcasm here. Where were you, Job, when the foundations of the earth were laid? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined the earth measurements, Job? Surely you know, he says. Is the Lord talking smack here? I'm not sure, but he's making his point clear. He says, where were you when I hung the stars, Job? So he's establishing his authority. And the Lord goes on for a few pages asking questions like this, and some of it's tinged with sarcasm. And he says, can you make the lightning bolt strike and then report back to you and say, here we are? This is a great story because I wonder what Job is doing during this divine lecture that he's getting from God. You know, is he sort of just sort of kicking the sand there with his hands in his pocket? well, then when is this going to be over with? Is Job getting an answer that is sufficient to his need? What we do know is that Job is silenced. He says nothing. He just stands there before such power and before such indisputable divine logic, and he can't say anything. Here is the Lord's answer to Job's why in the midst of his suffering. And it's his same answer to all of us in the midst of our suffering. He says, Job, your counsel is darkened because you don't see the whole picture. You don't have the complete knowledge. Not one person has the wisdom to number the clouds. So we cannot begin to think that we know the half of anything. We might pretend that we know a whole lot. We might try to impress our bosses or our teachers or our friends with all that we know and with all our spreadsheets and society with its scientific discoveries and our medical improvements and our clever algorithms and our engineering wonders, but we don't know Jack. That's the Lord's answer to Job. And all Job can say in reply, if you go down to chapter 4, is, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth, Job says. So what does this silencing mean? Does it mean, well, just shut up and take it, Job? Is that what it means? Life is tough. Pull up your pants and tie your shoestrings and bear the load. Is that what the Lord is saying to Job? I suppose that's part of it, because life is not for the faint-hearted, right? Somebody once told me, life, when I was complaining, life is not for sissies. But that's not all of it. The Lord is telling us, life has its rough spots, so gird up your loins, man. But that's not all of it. There's something deeper happening here. It has to do with the silence. Go through your phase of suffering asking why. That's perfectly natural and normal for us. How many times I've asked why in great moments of struggle in my life? Ask your question why. It's natural. Jesus asked the same question on the cross, didn't he? My God, why have you forsaken me? But don't get stuck on the why. To overcome in your suffering, we have to move on from the why. And we find that the Lord moves Job from the why to the how. How will I overcome? How are you going to overcome this, Job? Why is this happening? Trust me, Job, you don't know the half of it. You can't begin to understand. But let's move on from the why and let's ask how. How are we going to get through this, Job? There's something about the silence that makes things clearer. Silence can open up room for the Lord of the universe to enter into your life and make a new thing. In the silence, we quiet the why question and we start allowing the mystery of Christ to reveal the how. But when we're in a moment of suffering and of pain or of loss and a dizzying frenzy of disorientation that life can get us in, all we want to do is talk and complain and ask why, and our mind is just filled with all kinds of questions and bitterness and accusations and going to the worst case scenario. Our minds do that. And the Lord says to Job, Job, be quiet for a minute. Be silent for a minute. Have you ever noticed Jesus is always telling people to be quiet? Telling things to be quiet? In some translations, it's shut up. He tells the wind, shut up already. He tells the demons who are moving around and people, will you be quiet? Sometimes he even tells the people who are yelling at them, be quiet. Or as some translations say, shut up. I know your mom said not to say that. So maybe you better translate it as be quiet then, in respect for your mother. The Lord's always telling us to be quiet. He's telling in the dizzying pace of all the questions and the mind going to the worst case and doubting and resenting and having bitterness. The Lord tells us in His mystery, be quiet. Be quiet for a minute. And just listen. And there's something that happens in the silence. Elijah had the same experience. I can't remember all the things that came. There was the earthquake and there was the fire and there was the wind. And each time the story, the narrator says, no, God wasn't in the wind and He wasn't in the fire and He wasn't in the earthquake. But He showed up in the whisper. He showed up in the still, small voice of the Lord. The Eastern Orthodox Christians call these assaultive thoughts that we get in our minds logismoi, or little words. These little words that assault you, and you get them all the time. They say, oh, it's going to get bad, it's going to get worse, or this can't possibly end well, or you need to blame them, or be bitter about this, and just those little thoughts assault us all the time. But the Lord tells us, be quiet and notice as you go into silence, those little thoughts, they just keep coming, they keep coming, they keep coming, but pretty soon you realize, oh, that's not reality. Those little assaultive thoughts are creating a story that doesn't have to be real. The real story is what the Lord will tell you. The real story is what the Lord will speak to you, and what the Lord speaks to us in His Scripture, and what He speaks to us in prayer, and what He speaks to us when we're silent in the midst of our suffering. And what are some of those affirmations that we hear from the Lord? In Isaiah 41, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. That's what the Lord says to us in the silence. Or James 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work, so that you might be mature and complete and not lacking anything. It will make you stronger, the Lord says. Hang in there. Because God is in the hope, remember. And finally, in John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You can't hear those things if you're battling with the logismoi, the small voices in your head that are the mealy mouth voices. This can't get any. This is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. You know, all the things. It's their fault. Blame them. Blame God. Curse God and die. But the Lord, in the midst of that, comes to Job and He says, Job, you don't know the half of it, and just be quiet for a minute. And in that quiet, we can begin to hear the voice of God. In that quiet, through prayer, we can begin to hear the voice of God. In that quiet, as we open the pages of the Scripture, the voice of God can begin to speak to us. And the voice of God will bring grace. Grace will pour into your life. And you will realize, I can overcome in Jesus Christ. If I stay strong, I will be stronger on the other side. If I remain faithful, my family will be stronger on the other side because of my faithfulness. If I remain strong, my church will be stronger, my community, and even my nation will be stronger if I hold on in faith. I don't understand, but I trust. And there is a lot of power that comes with faith. The prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Job learned that. And we find on the other side that Job received more blessings than he had ever had in his life. Because he stayed strong. He girded up his loins. He was quiet. And he listened for the Lord. May we do the same as we learn from this servant Job. Let's pray together. Father, we're taught by society to be the loudest voice in the room, to express ourselves, to have our names in name and lights. But yet you tell us in our suffering to be quiet. Teach us that spiritual discipline, Lord. Teach us the practice of being silent before you and letting all those assaultive thoughts come and go. Let them clear out so that we might see the path that you would take us on and that we would hear your voice as you guide us down that path of righteousness and healing and wholeness. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.